I had just learned about pleasure mapping from my somatic healer, and you literally touch your body from like your head to your toes, but you do it very slowly. So you start to just trace things, but the intention is to pay attention to things you may have never noticed before. So somebody might get to their armpits and be like, oh my God, like I didn't know that, you know? For me, it was like the back of my knees, which I was like, oh. And you're kind of saying to yourself, I love you, over and over again in your mind. And then I started to get very aroused. And then I spread.
This made you horny?
Hi there, lovers!
Hey, lovers!
So I'm back from Cyprus, London, and I would definitely say I'm back like I never left, but I don't feel the same as how I did before I left. It was a life-changing, and if that feels too dramatic for everybody, it definitely was a perspective-changing trip that shifted the way that I thought about lifestyle and love and time. And on the note of time, because I did get back late Sunday night, I just didn't have the time to whip together a brand new episode. So I wanted to do a rerun of one of our most beloved, listened to, talked about, referenced episodes. And that is the one on sacred sexuality starring the incredible Tanari Yell. So in this episode, the songstress talks about her introduction into the world of Tantra, pleasure mapping, praise kink, and radical self-acceptance. Like I said, this is definitely one of our most listened to episodes. So some of you watching might be thinking of tuning out, but before you go, let me plead my case here, okay? Because I filmed this episode 3 years ago, and in the beginning, I basically said, this is what comes to mind, this is what came to mind if somebody poses the idea of fusing spirituality and sexuality together. And for those of you who are listening, I just played a clip that's pretty cringy. And I'm sorry to say that I know it's offensive, especially to the people who are in the video, but yeah, lean into it. It's a little crazy looking. It's a little hokey looking. And the visual of that detracted me because I don't want to look crazy and hokey. Furthermore, the experiences I've had with people in this field, they haven't always felt like they were there with me, you know? And it's probably because they're not. They're on a different frequency.
You believe it's magic.
And I'm here to report back that 3 years later, not much has changed. Sacred sexuality, mindfulness and sexuality, Tantra have been practices and philosophies and concepts that I've definitely been interested in, taking classes on. I know so many incredible experts who work in this space, but it's felt like a hug that you lean into, but the person doesn't squeeze back. And then you're like, oh, I guess this is not for me. And that's just how I've honestly felt about it. But I continuously get re-inspired to try again, to try to hug again, and to try to love again, and to find my footing and my entry point into this space. So as I was mentioning, I've been traveling and I went to London. While I was in London, I saw my dear friend and colleague and co-creator of the beautiful jewelry line Kama that we made together, Seema Anand. And I sat down and interviewed Seema in an episode you guys get to watch in a couple weeks. And she said something that was inspiration enough for me to definitely want to go full force and try again.
I can actually, walking on the road, stimulate myself through the mind, straight down over there, and actually bring myself to orgasm. I can get fully wet. I can actually just do that.
By just thinking or by
just thinking.
Pelvic floor?
No, by just thinking. I can actually feel the sensations in my vagina by focusing on them in my head. I can be in the middle of Oxford Street with traffic around me. I can be having my little... And it's like, you know, when you use a vibrator and you place some, it's not immediate orgasm. It's that whole pleasure journey. It's that whole buildup. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh my gosh. That actually is so you.
So yeah, that was inspiration enough for me to want to give it a good old college try once again, and also inspired me to want to rerun this episode with Tenariel with something brand new at the end. So I spoke with my friend Brendan Durrell, who is an intimacy and soul work educator. And I said, Brendan, if you were to teach me one thing that would definitely work to get me the start that I've been desperately seeking, what would you teach me? And he graciously agreed to not only teach me, but to do a class for the entire lovers community.
Right back into it. Big inhale through the nose. Exhale out the mouth. Inhale through the mouth. Hold it. Sip in a little more. Back to your Kegel squeezes. Perineum squeezes for the fellas. Squeeze. Gently till you get to a count of 10. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Exhale. For you fellas out there, this is a huge, huge practice for us to keep the health of our genitals, for our prostate and all the things, because we need to have flow down there. And what I mean by flow as well, it's essentially you just bringing attention to it. So many men live in this world without bringing attention to the perineum, attention to their prostate, and it's so important.
So to all my lovers here, you guys will be taking this class today. Everybody watching or listening, you will get to hear a snippet of the best part of this class at the very end of this episode. So enjoy watching or re-watching Tenario.
You're so sultry and dreamy and sensual and sexy and whimsical.
Thank you.
So when this was pitched as a topic you wanted to talk about, I was like, yes. Also, let me just preface this by saying, I am so not tapped into sacred sexuality.
Really?
Really.
That's shocking to me.
It would be for most people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just a lot more, I think, practical.
Okay.
And robotic.
Okay.
Than most people think. But I am fascinated by it, and I love people who engage in it, and I love hearing stories about it. So
yeah.
And I adore you. So it all made sense.
Oh, thank you.
Can you break it down for the people? What is sacred sexuality?
It's just a moment to really hone in on your spirit and honor her, him, that, and give it what it needs. So for me, a lot of it can either be like sacred self-pleasure, moments of just observing myself and witnessing myself. Anything sacred to me is about honoring your yes and honoring your no. So it's a different practice for me. It's new for me. A lot of things that I would do in the past were because I felt that I was expected to, or that I had to, and that's because of certain traumas that I faced as a kid. And so that trained me and taught me how to engage with sex or how to look at it. So now, immediately doing things because I want to or not, it makes it sacred, like off the bat. And then there are all like the things that you can kind of add to make it more beautiful, and how people initially think of sacred, I feel like lighting incense and candles, and you got your binaural beats playing, and you know, more energetic work, or however, you know, you practice those things. But yeah.
I would love to start at the climax and then work our way backwards.
Okay.
To how you got there. So can you share like an incredible sacred sexual experience that you've had?
Oh yes. I had just learned about pleasure mapping from my somatic healer. So pleasure mapping is pretty much like being in a moment, being to yourself, and you literally touch your body from like your head to your toes, but you do it very slowly. So you start to just trace things, but the intention is to pay attention to things you may have never noticed before. So somebody might get to their armpits and be like, oh my God, like I didn't know that, you know? For me, it was like the back of my knees, which I was like, oh. And so now that's becoming a moment. You're going down, I get to my toes, I really like that. And then I started to do some heart womb breathing. So you come up, well, I'm talking in like I'm teaching it, but this is like my experience.
and I touch my heart and my stomach, and you breathe into your stomach, and then you take like a second breath within that breath into your heart. And then I did that for like 5 minutes.
What does it sound like?
It's like a... And that was like the pace of it. And you're kind of saying to yourself, I love you, over and over again in your mind. And then I started to get very aroused. And then I spread.
This made you horny?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
But you're doing the breathing after the pleasure method.
Okay, so you did the foreplay.
I've already like touched my body, my arms, you know, all of those things. And then I went into the heart wound breath. Mm. Yeah.
Does the breath get faster?
It can, depending on the person. But for me, I like that pace. And I'll even start to like perspire a bit, you know, start to really get into it. Like I'm very sensual. So I like to hear things like, so hearing my own breathing turns me on. I don't know if that's self-centered or not. I don't think so.
I don't think so
like,
either.
My breath gets me every time. And then from there, I did yoni gazing, which is like witnessing yourself. So I spread my legs and I just stared at myself, which a lot of people don't do. A lot of people don't look down there. And even that becomes something because you're seeing yourself and your, what's the polite word? Your juices or, is that a polite word?
Yes.
And that would get me more aroused. And then I played and it was so beautiful because in that it was like, this is a moment for me. And as I was orgasming, I would think about like something I wanted to manifest, and that made me like come even harder. And it was beautiful.
And this is just hands, just fingers, just your just body me. On your body.
Yeah. You know, I'm not very crazy about, like penetration, like penetrative toys. I've tried, I have like a crystal, like an amethyst one that I've used like twice, but that was more so intentional, like for a healing, like a specific practice. But I really prefer like the girls. They do what they need to do for me. I've played with like a couple other ones. There's like that rose one and like
yes, yes.
Some of the ones that have like a little flicker thing that happens. But yeah, that's, I feel like I've always preferred just.
Oh, I'm with you on that. I'm my own favorite sex toy.
Yeah.
And like truth, like my husband's mouth is my favorite sex toy, but it's like an extension of me now because yeah. We work together so intimately. But yeah like I prefer that.
Okay, I'm glad you get me. Yeah, some people, and it's no judgment, but some people have like a whole trunk of like their own favorite gadgets and stuff like that. And to me, it just makes it like so complex.
I mean, shit, I got a whole storage area. So I'm part of that. Like, yeah, I'm about abundance. I like to have options and toys, but
yeah.
I'm like, for my tried, tested and favorite experiences. And to be honest, those are more the novelty things.
Yeah.
Like some people might do hands and touch as like the novelty thing. Like, let me do this. Like, let me try this again.
Yeah.
It's kind of old school. Like feels like a high school shout out.
Yeah. I need to get more into like, maybe adding some stuff, just like you said, for the options, like just to see what else is out there. I don't really have much like knowledge about a lot of like I see a bunch of the different things and I'm like, that looks like it hurts. That looks like this. What is that even doing? And they're expensive.
Yes, they are expensive.
Toys are expensive. And I'm like a bougie girl too. So I'm like, I've tried like the little like quick little vibrators. I'm like, I don't like how that sounds. I don't like how this plastic feels on me. I like Lilo. I think that's how it's pronounced. I have like a couple of those products. But I did get one recently at my trip in New York and I did not like that one at all. And I've been like stressed because I don't think I can return it.
Oh.
I'm like, but I think there's something wrong with it. Like, I'm like, this can't be what it's supposed to be. It's not what it said on the box. Like,
that's why you got to just enlist your inner middle-aged white woman and write the management company and be like,
I'm quick with an email now.
It was my birthday. I purchased this as a gift. It was a special treat. I was looking forward to it.
I set it up. I had on a silk robe and candles and just to be disappointed. Maybe I'll do an email. It's literally still sitting there. And we'll let the people know if I get a refund on my money or not, too.
Okay, good. To be continued.
To be continued.
Well, speaking of time, this, I think the reason why a lot of people find sacred sexuality or the practice to be unapproachable, mm-hmm. right word, because it feels like it's a lot of time commitment.
Yeah.
Would you say that it is?
This episode is sponsored by me. Kama, my jewelry line with Seema Anand and Surmai, is back in stock. Kama invites women to move away from shame and towards pleasure. Each piece is inspired by a Kama Sutra position that prioritizes empowerment and pleasure. Designed to be worn by day or late at night, the jewelry teaches you how to move your body and invites others to praise her too. Every piece is handmade and takes time to create. So when they're gone, they're gone. Lovers, we have already sold out twice this year, and the last time, pieces like the five-string necklace, the choker, and the waist belt sold out in days. So, just in time for the holidays, get Kama for you or a lover at surmai.com/Kama. Again, that's surmei.com/KAMA. When you do that, you support me and claim yours before someone else does, because I promise you they will.
I think the reason why a lot of people find sacred sexuality or the practice to be unapproachable, mm-hmm. right word, because it feels like it's a lot of time commitment.
Yeah.
Would you say that it is?
I feel like in terms of starting to learn the things that I needed to know, definitely. It's a lot of research. It's a lot of like trial and error and finding the things that are for you. But again, I genuinely feel that things are so subjective, and the best thing that we could all do for ourselves is to like get the thought out of our minds of what we think things may look like. Like, for instance, this whole soft girl life. Everyone has like this particular idea of what that looks like, but it could be different for everyone. Like, it doesn't have to be like super expensive. It doesn't have to be like super aesthetically pleasing. Like, oh, I can only do this. It's kind of like a big struggle I've had with self-care. Like this idea of, if I'm not getting it perfect, like I woke up and I didn't touch my phone and I did my breath work and then I meditated and then I did, like, if I'm not getting, then it's not self-care. I feel like it's the same thing in terms of like sacred sexuality. Like, it is what it is for you. It doesn't have to be time consuming. It's all about like intention, just having your partner and being like, can we just take a few moments or just a few minutes of just eye gazing and not touching each other and just settling in to this moment and being present with each other.
I love what you said though about the work that it took to really approach this space and mm-hmm. give it the energy that it needed.
Yeah.
To be in a space where you could practice self-love, where you could practice sensuality, where you could care on yourself, where you could love on yourself. Those aren't things you can, that many people have the luxury of just deciding to do.
Yeah. I feel like the path chose me because I was in a really hurt place. And it was heartbreaking. Like, I remember being in a space where I thought like I would never have sex again. Because I was just always so like, I started getting really sensitive to touch. I started getting
very to the point that it was painful.
Yes, like physically, on a physical level, I started to feel nauseous. I started to feel, it was like all of these experiences started to build up in me and my body was like shutting down to it all. Because I had numbed things for so long. And when you get to a space like that, I feel, for me as a woman, I felt like, well, this is a huge part of our role, like how they paint it as a woman. So if I don't have this, then I don't have anything. I was super depressed about it. It was hard to speak about because in this world, that's all anyone ever talks about, right? It's like what they're doing and who they're doing it with and what they're doing. And you know, and I'm just sitting here like, I would rather not. And I'm in my 20s, my early 20s at the time. And I'm just like, I'm broken. Something is wrong. I didn't realize I was on autopilot. Was doing a lot of things that I would have rather not done, that I didn't want to do. I didn't care to. I just thought that I had to. Even something as simple as like sending nudes. Like with my partner that I'm with now, it was so funny. I was like, you know, I feel like this is one of the first times I've actually like sent a nude because I wanted to. I felt good and wanted to show you like, wow, look at me. As opposed to, I have to do this so this person will like me. they're expecting this. Oh, they're not texting me back. Let me get their attention again. Like, just being taught to chase and kind of get attention in the wrong way. So in terms of sacred sexuality, it was something that chose me. It was like my saving grace. And it came at a time when I was actually really ill. I wasn't like on this path searching to heal in this way, but in realizing that I had to unpack a lot of trauma in order to get my physical health back, that's how the path like kind of chose me. It was like pretty beautiful and magical. And
did a healthcare practitioner suggest it to you? Like, how did it come across your path?
So my therapist, she's a somatic healer, and she's also a tantric healer, and she's certified in like traumatic healing, whether it be trauma healing by like yoga or certain things of that nature. So it all, I kind of just got like this beautiful package of a person, and I was kind of here for the other things, and everything else just started to take form by the middle of us healing it all. You start to realize how tied together everything is. And so in moments like the heart womb breathing, initially that wasn't a sexual practice. It was just a practice to like center into myself and to like fall in, because I would dissociate a lot. And in doing certain practices, I started to realize as I was getting like healthy again, that I was becoming aroused. And I was like, am I fucking weird? Like, I remember going to her and being like, is this weird? Like, I was supposed to be doing a meditation where I was like imagining my higher self. And she like turned me on. Like, I saw her and I was like, oh my God. Like, it was like me, but not me. And that became like the beginning of that healing journey for me, like the sexual healing part, like finding that those moments and that sacredness within myself instead of looking outward for it.
You're the second person on the podcast to tell the story of masturbating to yourself.
I'm masturbating and I'm not thinking about other people. I'm thinking about the success and the art that I'm going to be creating. And it turns me on so much. And I'm like, whoa. And I see the future vision of myself. And I'm like, wow, she's so beautiful and sexy and interesting. And the art, the possibilities, I could go here and here and here. And I'm literally orgasming
to yourself,
to the thought of what is possible for myself.
Hey lovers, pardon the interruption, but I have a great question for you that I want all of you to answer. Ready? What makes sex great for you? Now, I'm gonna guess that for some of you, it's all about what you do. And for others, it's about who you do it with. But I think the consistent through line is that what we're all looking for is kindness, curiosity, and confidence. And that's why this episode is sponsored by Ro. Now, I'm not a real Ro user myself, but I am curious to know if Sparks is right for you. Ro Sparks are 2-in-1 prescription treatments for men who want harder, more controlled erections. It works in 15 minutes on average. That's faster than other treatments because it dissolves under the tongue, going directly into the bloodstream. That means less waiting and more doing. Thanks to their dual action formula with tadalafil, Sparks can stay active in the body for up to 36 hours. Now, that doesn't mean you're walking around hard for 36 hours. It means that when you're aroused, the body's ready. With Ro Sparks, men can get harder and have more control in bed. And with Ro, everything is 100% online. No wasting time in waiting rooms. And if approved, treatment ships directly to your door. If prescribed, new sexual health patients get $15 off of their first order of Sparks on a recurring plan. So lovers, if you're curious, don't delay. Go to ro.co/lovers to connect with a provider to see if Ro Sparks are right for you. Again, that's ro.co/lovers. All right, back to the episode.
We've been connected through 6 degrees of separation for a long time now when I reflect on it. So I know two people who've been madly in love with you. Mm-hmm. And I also know of your music, of course. And so when I heard the year 2019, that kind of struck me, because I'm like, no, Tenerio has been sexually liberated. She's been in Playboy. She has been in charge of her body and sharing her body in a way that felt really empowering before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like your actual sexual awakening came through the pandemic and now thereafter.
Yeah.
So what was it before and what is it now?
Before, I was trying to find power within my sexuality. I was trying to find it through the photos I was taking. I remember me and my mom going back and forth so much over like the pictures I would take. Like, I don't know. And I'm just like, mom, like, this is just like, this is my, me standing in my power. Like, I'm liberated. Like, we don't have to be who society tells us we have to be. Like, kind of like a fake it till you make it type situation. And in terms of my music, I would find so much like catharsis in being that girl. So when I listen back to those songs, and especially in a time when I didn't feel really grounded in that, like, I listen to those songs and I have so many people tell me, like, I found myself to your music, or I've grieved to your music, or me and my partner, like, have the best sex to your music. I'm like, well, that's nice. Must be nice, you know, because here I am, like, struggling with self-image and self-esteem and insecurities that I've had since I was a kid. So I think those were just words just flowing through that were true to me and true to my higher self. I just had to find it and find her. And it's still like daily work for sure, but I am like 100 trillion percent like a different, I'm not even a girl anymore. Like, I'm a woman. I do see myself as like a young woman now. So that was her kind of like, this is who I want to be. And now it's like who I've become through the journey.
What was sex like during that fake it till you make it time? Did your body know that it was fake?
I was in a partnership at that time, like my first real kind of partnership. So it was just very much like, I loved him very much as like how a young girl could love somebody. But it was definitely that idea, like, you do what you're like, what you have to do for your partner, whatever your partner likes, you like, whatever, your partner wants, then you want. It was very much still stuck in that trauma stage of like, this is what my experiences as a kid taught me about these things. And so if you want someone to love you, then and you love them, then you give them what they want. And looking back on it, I used to feel a lot of shame, but that's not fair to her. And now I feel like a lot of grace and compassion. And I just, whenever I think about her, I just like hug her, you know, and tell her like, it's okay. You know, you're just living and you're just learning. And I do feel like I wish at that time that I was in a headspace to be more intentional with my partner as well. Because like, that's the thing, it changes everything to be able to say yes or to say no. And to be able to give your all because you want to, and to be able to do it because you genuinely feel it and you feel beautiful and you feel sexy. I feel like that's the best way to love on your partner. Like, you love yourself first and then they mm-hmm. come second. If I'm putting you first, then there's no way you're getting the best version of me. So,
well, it's not really you.
It's not even me. It's who I think I have to be.
Do you subscribe to the fake it till you make it philosophy?
I feel like, you know, it's so funny. When I was in college, I had this friend and we would always be like, next time on Fake It Till You Make It. Because we were like, we're going to have a reality show. Because it was just felt very much like how Los Angeles was. I feel like in certain circumstances, yes. But not so much like the Fake It Till You Make It way. I'm very big in like manifesting. I'm very much into like feeling is a secret, you know, centering into yourself and being like, this is my life in order for it to be your life. And so in terms of that, yes, I feel like, you know, if you sit around saying you're broke all day, you're gonna be broke. So in my mind, it's like, if you sit and you're like, I'm wealthy, I'm abundant, I'm taken care of, I'm sexy, I'm beautiful, you will over time like become those things. You'll wake up one day and be like, oh shit, I have a voice memo and I still haven't listened to it, but I recorded it during that time as my future self talking to myself like everything worked out. You healed, you got better, because like I just had to talk to myself that way, or I didn't know I was gonna make it. I love you, Tenerio. Coming from Tenerio, you are special, girl. You are beautiful. You are loved and you deserve love. Yes, it is not easy. It is not easy. But you're doing it because you know that you got this, and you got you, and God got you, and the universe got you. You're fine, mama.
And if you're not feeling your best, to just like place yourself in it, you know, like you can decide to be whoever you want to be. You have that power. I genuinely feel that way.
I have such a love-hate relationship with that, because I feel exactly what you feel, that it is important to speak a higher version into yourself, into your reality at all times. Yeah. And yeah, like sometimes we're our own worst critic, and it's not that we're not worthy of something, but that we, you know, don't tell ourselves or allow ourselves to like expand in those places, because yeah. we're always minimizing ourselves. So it's mm-hmm. like, no, like even if you don't feel that way, you probably are that way. So just act like it already exists, because it's going to exist, or it probably already does. Mm-hmm. But that to be said, it like, if you think about that advice, like to a doctor, like fake it till you make it. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, bitch, go to med school. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, like for certain things you want to do.
It would be nice absolutely. If you put the actual work in and prepared mm-hmm. yourself, and so that when I call you a doctor, it's mm-hmm. not because that's what you aspire to be. It's because what you put the work
you
in
worked
to be.
For it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I absolutely believe in working for like certain things you want to get to.
And it sounds like sacred sexuality is one of those things, like being a doctor, that you really can't fake it till you make it.
You have to work towards it. Yeah. Because it has, in terms of that sacredness, it has to be in that what you actually want. So yeah, I'm not gonna like be intimate with someone and go like, oh, maybe one day I'll wake up and actually wanna do this or be with this person. It's like, you gotta want it. Or even in terms of like doing those practices with yourself, it does take work, and it definitely does take time. And it's not always easy. Even once you find the practice, sometimes you'll find a lot of the challenge is doing the practice. A lot of us are so busy and like consumed and like things that we're going through, or things that people we love are going through, or like hustle, hustle, hustle. And, but I need to get this, or I need to do that. How could I possibly find time to like genuinely take this moment to be here intentionally with my partner without trying to rush it so I can be on my way? Because the world can make you feel like that comes last always. So that is definitely like a challenge for sure.
I think it's an important lesson too, because these things can seem topical. Like self-care can seem topical. Mm-hmm. Like take a bath, right? Like
yeah, do a face mask.
Put on this and then you get this. That. Mm-hmm. But it's like taking a bath has no meaning to it if you haven't
there's
really-
There's no intention.
If there's no intention.
Yeah.
And the only way you get intention is by figuring out what you're like and mm-hmm. what you really like and yeah. what you don't like. Like doing that work to discover who you are, to make mm-hmm. your yeses yeses and your noes noes,
yeah.
that isn't something that you can just put on.
And that's what makes it sacred to me, that the intention behind everything, like whatever it is you're doing, that is what makes it sacred.
So if we were to talk about some of the, you've done the work, you've enlisted the help of an expert who you deeply trust, mm-hmm. who you have a long-term relationship with,
yes.
and you've invited into your life in a meaningful way that's expanded your pleasure potential and your potential for self-expression in ways you never imagined.
Yeah.
So we probably can't cover off on that in this podcast.
It's a lot.
So if we got to the topical part of it, when you got to the other side,
mm-hmm.
what are some of the things that started making sex fun again?
Some of the things that, you know what? This is gonna sound, I hope this doesn't sound like, it doesn't matter. I'm working on not disclaiming myself, by the way.
Oh, good for you.
Thanks. I don't know why that's such a huge thing. Saying what I like and what I don't like, first of all, because I used to be so scared if something didn't feel good, I didn't want to, kind of like deflate someone's ego. So I would just like go along for like the ride and just be like, oh yeah. Now being like, to actually take the time to be like, oh no, I don't, maybe like this, maybe try this like that. that made things very fun for me, because also if someone can like take direction well, for some reason that really just, I don't know if it's like a communication thing and just like a huge mental thing for me, but you're just like, yes, that's it, good job. You know, I don't know what that is, but that made things more fun for me, going to like sex stores together and just, even if it's just looking at stuff together.
Is like, it mostly like sacred sex tools? Like, do you feel like there is a relationship between the things and the intention, or the intention mm-hmm. is there and then the things are whatever you want it to be?
Like, I'm glad we get to talk about this today, because like I feel like there's a thing just like spirituality here in LA. Like, you can say something and then there's a look to it, but it is all about the intention behind it, because people can like look like anything and it can be hitting for nothing. Like, I definitely feel like it is more about, it's just more about the intention. I don't know if even in that it sounds like less interesting than people may think that it is, because they may think that it's all these like bells and whistles, but for me, it's not all that stuff. I've had this experience recently with my therapist where she asked to hold me and I was like, mm-hmm. And she said, I'm going to need a verbal yes of consent from you. And I just lost it, because you don't realize how many times in your life you don't actually say yes. You just kind of like are going along with emotions and going with the flow. So all that to say, like, it still is very much a practice for me, even in that. So the most sacred part for me is saying yes. I have to choose myself first, and I never did that. So this is a huge thing for me at this point in my life. It's very new for me, and sometimes it's nauseating, like choosing yourself and then being like, what did I say? What did I do? Should I go back? And
what does this mean? Yeah.
Never mind. You actually can, you know, but I'm happy for it.
And these hard choices and the hard work that you've done have led you to your healthiest relationship yet.
Yeah.
That you're currently in.
Yeah. It's very positive.
And to end things off, I feel like when we talked about sex for you, that was completely sacred. You were like, oh, solo experience or... So do you have a partnered story that you want to end things off with?
I do have a partnered story.
It felt like you did. I didn't want to press and be a perv. I felt it.
It's a story from the past, but it was at the beginning of this healing. It was just full of consent, which I don't even know what that means. Just a lot of yeses. Yes, this is okay. Yes, that's okay. And it was the first time that I had experienced affirmations or someone affirming me while making love to me. It was also the first time I had...
What does that sound like?
You're powerful. You are so beautiful. You are loved. You are love. You are healthy. You are successful. Like, literally just... affirming me. Thank you. I'm so grateful for this moment. It literally felt like spirals. Just everything was just like unlocking, which is, it's actually funny that I do that, because I think that's how our chakras churn. That's what it felt like. I just felt completely elevated and lifted off this planet. That set the standard for me.
All right, so I have a little confession. I am sharing this episode with Tenariel, not just because I wanted to throw back to a phenomenal conversation, but because I also want to encourage Tenariel to come back on the podcast. We've been trying so hard to get her back in 2025. It didn't work out this year. Hopefully next year, and maybe this is, you know, a reminder of the great and powerful and hopefully life-changing conversations that we get to have together, and the ways in which what she has taught us continues to multiply and move forward. With that said, speaking of teaching, I want to now turn it over to the teacher of this class, Brendan Durrell, a friend of mine, someone that I have known and worked with now for 5 years, who has been trying to get me over to the light side. And Brendan, you know that my intentions are always there, but for some reason the execution has felt off, and I asked you to teach a class for anybody else who may feel the same way. And for anybody watching, if you don't follow Brendan, go to instagram.com/BrendanDurrell. And now over to you.
Shan, thank you so much for trusting me with these spaces, your spaces, and always just putting in a solid word for me with just how I teach. As far as pleasure, so this is very, very loaded. And Shan gave a backstory about how we began our friendship. And she met me when I was probably like still in the thick of me being a solo nomad, 15 years, never was in relationships, but I was so curious about intimacy. And then Shan gets to see me now in fatherhood. I have a 3-month-old daughter named Amaya. And a lot of the theories that I'm gonna run by you today, they're really gonna work on you from your cells all the way out. And I come from a background of professional sports. I was a professional athlete. I played a professional baseball. I was always just, I would say, desensitized. And because I was taught just to numb through extreme pain, through adversity, et cetera, et cetera. So for me, when it came to experiencing pleasure, it was very mechanical. It was just like get in, get out, sort of say. That was my vibe. That was how I approached it. And I remember towards the tail end of my baseball career, I was in Germany and I was invited out to a yoga studio for a breathwork session. I remember sitting there breathing, listening to the instructor going in, and I couldn't feel anything. I got really frustrated. I was like, I'm supposed to be experiencing this sense of just release, this sense of openness. And yet I was struggling. And for the first 5 minutes of what I'm going to share with all of you today, I was literally in that space of like, my ego mind was like, this is stupid. It's going to happen to you too. I know it's going to happen to Shan. You're going to question everything about the practice that we're going to do today, because it's going to be like, duh, well, we do this all the time. But also, they say the devil lives in the details, and I'm here to say God lives in the details too. So bit by bit, and we go slowly with all these practices. So I was in that breathwork session, and I remember I left feeling like, it was subpar, you know? So fast forward a few years later, I was invited to the infamous Burning Man, and my really good buddy was leading a breathwork session. He told me to join. I was like, okay, let's do it. Like I was like, I've had breathwork before, but now in between, there's been 3 years of deep work and exploration since then. So I'm on the floor in the dusty floor of the desert, and I'm sitting there breathing, and minute 1 to 10, I'm sitting there like, this is dumb. It's still the same feeling. I feel a lot of tension in my body. I feel nothing, essentially. And I kept going. Once I got past around maybe the 10-minute mark, something just opened up for me. And I remember I started feeling what my arms felt like, my chest felt like, my back felt like, my legs felt like. Something just clicked. And this is the most wildest part. And I don't share this freely because it's very vulnerable. And also, it's something that really changed my life in the realms of sexuality and feeling and breath. So as I was there, I started getting like this overwhelming feeling of like a plant ceremony, if you experience one, or mushrooms, or it was just something like out of body, essentially. That's what it felt like. And I swear to you not, I had the biggest orgasm of my life just from breathing on the ground. And I remember like everybody was still breathing, and I like kind of went up like this, was like looking around, and I slowly drew my hands down my body. I was like, oh my God, there's gonna be wet ass loincloths, as Shan calls it, down here. It's gonna be super wet and soiled. And I was like reaching and low key, kind of like doing it without nobody noticing. And I was like, wait, it's dry. It's dry. There's no way. I felt something happen. That was the exact moment where I knew ejaculation and orgasm were two different things. So my journey from that dusty desert floor led me to Southeast Asia, and I stumbled upon a Rinpoche, a teacher from the Bhutan, who's been a monk his whole life. At the time, it was like 50 years. And he invited me to this training he was doing. And I remember I was there and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna learn all these sex secrets. Yeah, I'm gonna be the man, you know what I mean? Like I was like in that kind of mind frame, like very immaturely. And when I got there, let me tell you, the most rude awakening happened to me. I got to day 9. This Rinpoche, he finally looks at me. He sees that I have blisters, breaking out skin. I'm just like done with this dude. I probably lost like 15 pounds. He was like, you know what pleasure is? And I was like, just looking at him. He goes, peace is pleasure. And I was like, ah, okay.
Brendan, thank you so much. I do want to continue, but can we pause things right here for a second while I talk to my people? Lovers, thank you so much for being here. If you have watched till this point, I have no idea why you are not on the Lovers community. Go to loversbyshan.com/community. You can join for free. You can watch classes like this for free. You can also get replays and go deeper, have one-on-one time with me, be a part of personal classes that I teach, and get daily posts from me within the paid community. So again, go to loversbyshan.com/community to get started, and I will hopefully get to connect with you soon. And speaking of connection, let me go back to Brendan. Did you like that segue?